Hello, welcome, and thanks for listening to Carbon Climates, an entry podcast dedicated to discussing all things energy, carbon, and sustainability. We also like to talk about what's getting hot, aside from our planet. I'm your host, Enya, and today I'm joined with my carbon climate and co-host, Ansu, who I will be introducing shortly. So, Ansu, how are you doing? What have you been doing this weekend? How have you been?
Thank you, Enya. First of all, thank you so much for inviting me. Well, it was a quite busy week for me. So I was away for like a conference starting from Wednesday and came back yesterday. So it was really interesting about all the new technologies and all the new stuff they are implementing in the concrete sector. So that's actually what the conference was about. It was hosted by Institute of Concrete Technology.
Right, okay.
So that was nice. Came back yesterday and here I am. Yes, now.
Busy schedule.
Yeah. And of course, I have got another one tomorrow.
Oh, that's okay. That's very good. Well, could you tell us your job title?
So, I'm a concrete technologist, and I'm also working as a knowledge transfer partner between Queen's University of Belfast and Moore Concrete Products Limited, which is like a precast company based in Ballymena. So it's more about creating mixed designs, reducing the carbon footprint. So the title of the project which I'd work on is actually reducing the carbon footprint from the precast sector.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also about replacing the steel with alternative steel reinforcements like glass fibers and basalt bars and stuff like that. So that's actually the kind of work I do in there.
That's very interesting to hear. Even I just want to ask a quick one. So replacing it with glass fiber, like it probably has a better thermal conductivity
mm-hmm.
than steel. Sorry, my mind in the energy assessor me is like working in the background.
Uh-huh.
But class, I can't wait for that product to come out.
You're still on the working stage.
Okay.
But maybe next year.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll see.
Brilliant. So could you tell me how long you've been in this sector?
So, to be honest, I think it's been almost 1.5 years, 1.5 years now. So, I have been enjoying it. I was a completely newcomer in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
So, my industrial experience for this past 1.5 years, it's like taught me a lot, learned a lot, made so many mistakes and still learning. So, mm-hmm. it's kind of good and still learning.
Yeah.
Looking forward for more things to come in the way.
That is such a good attitude to have. Like, I've been in the sector. This is my, sixth year at this job, but maybe ninth year in the sector.
Wow.
And yeah, I still make mistakes. I'm still learning.
It's like every day we learn something new.
Yeah.
Like every day is a school day.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I love those. Like when you get a new kind of topic or area to like study in, you're like, yeah, I'm going to learn so much from this.
yeah, that's true.
Brilliant. So, see, at secondary school, did you ever envisage yourself in this sector?
Oh my God, no, to be honest. Because I have my background in chemistry. The first master's is actually in chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought I would always be more into like nanochemistry and stuff like that. I got my papers published in that sector.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought like, it would be like a good idea to do something related to material science rather than going into like organic chemistry and stuff like that. So I decided to pursue master's in material science and engineering from Queen's.
Mm-hmm.
But the future has something else for me, I guess.
Yeah.
So what happened was like I got my master's project based on geopolymers. So it's actually not something I chose. It just came to me.
Right.
So at first I was like, okay, what I'm going to do after this project, because I have no idea what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a completely new thing to me. So I was a bit kind of confused. But my supervisor was like super cool. And he just explained things to me. And I was like, oh, wow, this is really interesting. It's like mm-hmm. reducing the carbon footprint and stuff. That's actually like real world application.
Mm-hmm.
So just did that. And soon after I completed the master's project, it's like I got this opportunity to be part of the knowledge transfer partnership program, which was completely related to the work I did for my project. So that's how I got into that. So that's how I ended up being in the world of great.
Wow. That's amazing. That's really nice. Well, you're in such a like thriving and lucrative field. Like concrete is used for everything.
Well, literally, like I initially, like what I only knowledge I had about concrete was like it's made of sand, stone, and cement.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually the only thing I knew when I was like a child, or like even when I was doing, you know, like all my studies in like childhood. But it's like when I started to learn what's actually in there, I realized that there's so much chemistry when it comes to concrete,
mm-hmm.
reactions and stuff which is happening, and the setting time and how it works. So it's like completely, it's filled with chemistry. So that's actually something which keeps me going.
Yeah.
So I really enjoy it, to be honest.
That's so good. I love that. I like always find that in my career as well, where maybe I'm working in something, I'm like, this is just like, oh, this is quite a childish comparison, but I love the PS2. I love to play Simpsons Hit and Run on the PS2. but I'm just like, this is just like Simpsons Hit and Run. Drawing comparisons. Yeah. Oh, great. Well, thank you for telling us like about your background and a bit about yourself. So you said you worked for, like, you're part of Queen's KTP.
Yeah.
It stands for Knowledge Transfer Partnership.
Yeah.
And you're in the like concrete area. We actually had a previous guest, Catherine Campbell, shout out Catherine, who was also in that same research area with Queen's KTP. Again, I'm just shouting out Queen's KTP. Not looking for them to sponsor me or anything. but that's great. Yes. So concrete has such an impact on the world today. It's used for many applications. The application I would know the most would be building.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things with building applications with concrete is that it can have a certificate called an EPD,
mm-hmm.
which stands for
Environmental Product Declaration. Yeah.
Beat me to it. Brilliant. But yes, that gives a lot of useful information, like the amount of carbon tons that goes into the concrete.
Yeah, yep.
So what you were saying there about working on applications of concrete to mm-hmm. lower mm-hmm. the carbon,
mm-hmm.
definitely going to have an impact. Like,
yeah, we actually do have EPDs for a couple of our products. So our company mostly uses, they produce civil products and agricultural products. So civil products in the sense of like big arches and stuff, like it's called BBOs. It's like big arches.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have platforms and so many different products, which I completely don't know the name even,
mm-hmm.
but there are so many products. So we do have EPDs for a couple of products because the client does want us to be clear about what's actually the carbon footprint from the product. So we do have it for a couple of our products. And it's also like we have our products, like it's very few of them which is actually sitting in like 100% cement. Most of them are like having alternative cementitious materials in them.
Yeah.
Up to 60-50% replacement. So it's like it's really good, you know, like to compare the one with 100% cement and with the one with the replacement stuff, so the clients could actually see and realize where they are. Mm-hmm. You know, when they're buying the product, they're able to know, okay, this is actually what we are contributing. So what this product is actually contributing to the total carbon footprint. So it's actually like a very good document, to be honest. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Very nice. Well, I know from my background, I'm an energy assessor, as I said before in this podcast. I actually am able to calculate U values as mm-hmm. well. And U values, talk about that again in a different episode. I think episode 2, go back to that, listeners, if you'd like. But it calculates the heat loss through an element, or a flanking element, like a bit of wall. With concrete, with doing this application of calculating U values, I've come across four or five different types of concrete.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about concrete with 2% steel, and then concrete with 1% steel,
mm-hmm.
and then dense concrete,
mm-hmm.
and then concrete with no fines.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to think of another one. I know screed can sometimes get wrapped up in there. But yeah, so that, like that's like my knowledge of concrete. And what I find really interesting, and just probably what you can see firsthand, is that each of these have a different mm-hmm. thermal conductivity,
mm-hmm.
and it's to do with the way they're mixed and created.
But
in your work, when you're in the KTB lab at All in Queen's, do you get to see much of this stuff, or?
It's actually more to do with the binders and stuff in my case. Right. It's like I actually study heat of hydration and stuff like that for mm-hmm. different cement replacement stuff, and even with no cement in it. So that's actually the kind of work I do.
Right.
But I have not looked into those stuff. But I think at some point in my project, I would be looking onto those things.
Very good, yes.
Yeah. I think I would approach you and ask you, like, how will you do it and stuff like that.
I will happily...
guide me.
Again, I will happily have you on. Like, you can come into the office again, like this meeting room. No. But that's great. So with the KTP, you work with, like, at Queen's in the lab, but you also work with a company as well.
So it's actually like I work in the company premises according to their working time most of the times. But once in a week, I had to go to the uni and do my lab work and stuff. And my supervisors, both in the company and university, they're like super cool. I'm so lucky to have them.
Yeah.
They're really good.
Yeah.
So I do enjoy the work in there. But if I have to do any lab work, of course, I have to speak with the people in the lab and head of the week, so I could actually work throughout like a couple of days in the lab and get my work done.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time, actually, in the company premises, working in the lab in there, I have created my own space in the lab,
right?
Okay. With my beakers and glass rods and magnetic stirrers and stuff like that. They didn't have anything,
right?
And even bought a lab coat for myself and goggles, so I look like a mad scientist in the lab when I'm wearing everything.
Oh my goodness, you, has it been posted on LinkedIn yet? Because I know people love like to see like real life in the lab, especially with the goggles and the lab coat and everything.
Yeah. Even they were calling me like, oh, you look like a mad scientist, but everything, because they don't have had anyone working on like that in their lab before. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm the first one to make it happen.
Okay.
I'm happy about that.
Yeah, good. I can't wait to see the press release, like, you know, our scientists frack the mystery of concrete, and it'll be a picture of you.
It's actually like far away, so far away to say like, oh, she's a scientist in there in the lab, you know.
Brilliant. Well, okay. What, you're talking a bit about your role there. What sort of training and prep did you do for entering this role? Like the training program out there is KTB. Do you find the guides they give you are useful, or do you find a more learning as you go approach better?
I would say learning as you go approach is actually more better in my case. It was actually much better in my case. I think my company and the university did know that my background was actually like a bit different, not completely related to concrete technology. First time I actually learned about the previous standard was, of course, when I was writing my thesis for my master's. So I read about it, I tried to understand, but it's actually really complicated. Like for a first time, when someone looks into that, you won't understand anything. So I took my own time learning at least a bit about it. And the kind of training I got, I think my supervisors in the master's project, they did actually did a very good job, you know, training me onto the right path and direction. And I think that's actually the initial training I got, and the kind of training I got from the company, like the ongoing way I actually got it from the supervisors in Queen's and in the company. They really helped me and always pointed me in the right direction. They always like pushed me to do, which I do like, oh, I don't know about it. They said like, no, you can actually just go for it. You can actually do it. Just go for it. Just learn it. We are there to support you. So that was actually the kind of support I got from them. I think company and the university did have a very huge role for pushing me there and helping me out.
Yeah. I absolutely love employers and supervisors like that. Like my boss, Ellen, he's honestly the best for encouraging us to like, yes, okay, do this training, like go forward, you can do this.
Yeah, it's like the continuous professional development is very important when it comes to, you know, like in a professional journey.
Mm-hmm.
Like in long run, it would actually help so much, and it's also like the number of people we get to meet through networking and conferences yeah. and stuff like that. It's just amazing because you never know
mm-hmm.
like what's actually going to be the next stage for you.
Exactly.
You know, it's yeah. just keep on adding the networking and people.
One of my favorite things to do is I love networking. Like yeah. I absolutely love it.
Yeah,
I love
Yeah.
exactly. We should probably like actually address that. But me and you know each other through Keep Northern Ireland Beautiful's climate change program. It's 30 under 30
yeah.
climate change makers in Northern Ireland.
Uh-huh.
And so we met back in January, wasn't it?
Yeah. So, yes.
Yeah. And it's absolutely flown in. I can't believe it.
I think I just approached you and I think it's actually then you told me about, you know, Catherine.
Yeah.
She was also like a KTP. Do you know her? I was like, yeah, I think I have heard her name mm-hmm. before. Mm-hmm. I think that's actually was the starting point.
Right. Okay. Know, like, yes.
Yeah.
That's great. By that point, because I had started this podcast about last year, I filmed it.
I do remember yeah. you addressing about that. Yeah. If anyone wants to be part of it.
Yeah. It's okay. But I started it last year in July where I was interviewing people and like recording and like talking. But then I didn't get uploading stuff until this January. It's like I was doing a lot of prep and then, mm-hmm. you know, it's always the task, like nothing's perfect, like, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah. Because you're getting there.
Yeah, we're getting there. Okay. After your episode airs, like, you know, I probably hit 50k subscribers. So But that's good. Okay, brilliant. Well, thanks for explaining about your job and your background. So we've come to the section where in each episode, I try and tailor a wee section
mm-hmm.
Towards the guests
mm-hmm.
And like and just like at, like push some facts and figures at you
mm-hmm.
and you kind of give me your general opinion okay. Or just thoughts. So I like to play a wee question round. I've got it up.
Oh.
Apologies, we're just making sure. Okay. So we're talking about concrete
mm-hmm.
and I can edit this out. But like apologies, this is I know you said previously it's like, you know, I'm not just on concrete, so
mm-hmm.
apologies, I've tailored this section towards concrete. But concrete is a composite material composed of aggregate bonded together with a fluid cement that cures over time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm gonna go it's a very well used item. So between concrete and water, which do you think is used more?
I think it's concrete.
Oh, you know what? That was a hard question, and I phrased that wrong. So it says concrete is the second most used substance.
Oh yeah. It's concrete
in the world.
No, it's water. The most water. Used metal.
Okay.
Yeah.
So water wins that round. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Concrete or steel? Which one do you think is used more?
Concrete.
You'd be right.
Oh, okay. I'm happy about that. Yeah.
Concrete or wood? Which one do you think is used more?
Concrete.
Yeah. Yes.
Because second most material.
Yeah. Okay. I've actually shot myself. I've got this all over. Oh my goodness. Okay. But like, even like what we're talking about there, just like concrete, it's the second most used material in the world. So stuff like
that. And because of the same thing, the amount of carbon footprint in mm-hmm. the atmosphere from the cement industry alone is like 8%, which is like a very big amount. And that's one of the reasons why the cement industry is pushing suppliers and the manufacturers and people who are using the stuff
mm-hmm.
to bring the carbon footprint down by the Paris Agreement, which was actually done way back.
Right.
So according to the target, they want to bring the carbon dioxide emissions by 2030. Right. And even by 2050, they want to like bring it really, really down. So that's why they're using replacement materials and even trying out for implementing net zero concrete. So I think at some point they're going to implement taxes, carbon taxes and right. stuff like that, which is going to be like really, really high.
Mm-hmm. I was actually talking about this the other day with the carbon taxes and mm-hmm. like how it's like talked about, oh, for any emissions not met, call it's a carbon
mm-hmm.
tax.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they should change the name of it mm-hmm. and get the psychology, because I think carbon taxes, they'll be like, people will see, oh, companies have this much carbon tax.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think it should be called carbon fines.
Like carbon fines.
Because
yeah.
tax, they could, like, you know, maybe write that off with the accounts department.
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah.
you know,
it makes sense, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
It should be like a fine.
Yeah.
Not like a tax.
Yeah. And, yeah. like, yeah. It does the same thing as a tax,
uh-huh.
but like the wording of it, like
uh-huh.
called a fine,
uh-huh.
because like the people like I've met, especially in 30 to 30, like they're becoming more like, you know, I just didn't realize how many people like the extensive research that went into companies, like the background, like, oh, here they do this, they have this much emissions, and I'm like, that's really great to see, like people are starting to care about that. And then if it showed like this company has this much carbon fine, and then if I hear that's bad, it's like the psychology of the word, like, because
mm-hmm.
fine associated, yeah, yeah,
yeah. yeah.
Sorry, I was like, that was me riffing off. But okay, back to you. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So you said at the start, I think it was a bit before the podcast, but you said at the start that you're a concrete technologist
mm-hmm.
with the Institute of
Concrete Technology. So I have my associate membership. So I got both of them recently. So with Institute of Materials, Minerals and Mining,
mm-hmm.
and also with Institute of Concrete Technology. So yeah, I think it's actually because of this experience, like almost 1.5, 2 years experience, I actually got that. But when it comes to my background, it's a bit different. But
yeah.
with experience and with the kind of work I'm doing,
mm-hmm.
it's actually that which actually helped me to get that. Because the kind of qualifications they actually require for getting like an associate membership and all, it's like ICT stage 2 exam and stuff like that. I was a bit skeptical about like if I would get or not, but I was so fortunate to get.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah. Yeah. So back to your question.
But that's really great. We were talking previously about the likes of chartership and CPDs
uh-huh.
and why it's important.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the same for the Institute of Concrete Technology that you can become a chartered concrete engineer or a concrete?
Yeah, you can actually get chartered through IOM3 and Institute of Concrete Technology, but it would take almost more than 5 years. I had this conversation with the executive officer of ICT last
mm-hmm.
time I met him when
yeah.
in the conference. So I'm only like 25 now. So he was telling me like, you're young.
Yeah.
So you need to have and build up a couple of more years.
You know what? I've come across that. I've recently applied for chartership as well. And I'm 20, I'm 21. No. I know. I wish I was 20. No. Anyway. but
your mind is actually what keeps you going.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Mentally, I am.
I think we all are. I think I'm still stuck in my
20s. Yeah.
Not even, I don't know. Yeah. Maybe
mm.
at 20. Yeah. Yeah.
Wish I could go back and shake that person. Like,
mm-hmm.
you don't know how easy you have
mm-hmm.
it. Do you want this stress? but yes, like, so I'm 29. So I thought, right, okay, I'll set myself a wee goal, try
mm-hmm.
to get this chartership before I'm 30.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things they're really looking for, which I was kind of like, flip, I actually couldn't have applied for this before, because they're looking for management experience. Like,
mm.
you're teaching people like how to do
mm-hmm.
jobs. And
mm-hmm.
it's like, I've only maybe done that the last couple of years. Like,
mm.
like if I was thinking about doing this like 23 to like, you know, 24, like I might, yeah,
mm-hmm.
I definitely wouldn't have been ready. But that being said, if you're thrusted into a management role at 25, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
definitely, like you've got all the, you're checking all the boxes.
So what did they say about the chartership?
I'm still waiting to hear back. So maybe next episode, we'll hear.
Hopefully. Yeah.
But yeah, chartership with the Energy Institute.
Nah.
So I applied for the role of Chartered Energy Engineer.
Oh, that's great. That's really
yeah.
great.
But I'm
hopefully you get it.
Hopefully, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I have your backing, Nancy. That's all I need. but yeah, like I'm currently an associate member.
Uh-huh.
So we're saying you're concrete technologist. I'm an associate member of the Energy Institute. If you ever want to join the Energy Institute, like I know some people in the committee.
Okay, so you are promoting membership in Energy Institute now.
Yeah, yeah.
just a wee side,
So yeah, that's great. So the importance of accreditation, just very important.
And something I would like to add about the KTP stuff is actually like each of the KTP projects, they do have like a dedicated budget, you know, for traveling and all the subsidies and stuff, and even for buying the project related, you know, appliances and apparatus and instruments. So it's going to be like somewhere between £5,000 to £10,000. It could be like
That's amazing.
It's like you don't have to spend even like a penny from your pocket. It's like everything comes from the KDP budget. It's like they really want, like the end of the project, they really want the associate to have like a good profile. You know, they want the associate to have like personal growth and career opportunities. So that's why they actually really help with the budget. And that's why they have a dedicated budget. So it's actually through the budget I actually got my memberships in both the...
That's really
great. Yeah, it's like, and all the conferences and stuff is actually from the budget. I actually go for everything. It's like you get the approval from your supervisors and you just go for it. So they are happy enough to like get your way through the budget. So it's like, it's really good. I feel like it's like a very good opportunity. I don't think anyone can actually get that flexibility when you're like completely working. But when you're like an associate, it's like you're in through the academic side of things. You're also in the industrial side of things. And it's like you're transferring, you're creating like a bridge between the academy and the industry. You're making things happening in the lab to like an industrial scale. And of course, there are so many technical uncertainties which comes along with it. But still, it's really interesting if you're passionate about what you're doing. So, yeah.
And so always when I'm filming these podcasts, there's usually something that like maybe someone says, I'm like, wow, that really is amazing. So that really wants to be like, I love like, no, that was really great to hear. And like, I think our listeners would really like, you know, appreciate listening to it as well. But yeah, but that's brilliant. Thank you for so much for explaining the importance of the accreditation role. And then, yeah, next time you're on. It'll be chartered. No.
So what they were telling me was like minimum 5 years from now.
Yeah.
Like minimum 4 to 5 years. That's actually the time like the list. I'm targeting like to get it before 30.
You can definitely get it. Definitely. Oh,
yeah. I wish.
Like if there's, what is it? I've read a lot of case studies and they've said like people like, you know, there are people who just like, they fast track and like they're just like, I've done this and this and they're able to get it and everything. It's really great to hear. But yes, me and Nancy will next see each other at the next 30 under 30 workshop, which I believe is the Coca-Cola factory.
Oh, it's in Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I almost forgot about that.
I hope I haven't got that wrong.
It's Coca-Cola.
But that'll be good. I think we'll learn about sustainability and stuff. Hopefully get a free coat.
Yes, it's in Coca-Cola, sure.
But we have to take, well, we'll take a wee photo then for the wee socials. Be like, back again. But that's great. Okay. Well, Ansi, you've been absolutely brilliant to have on the podcast.
Oh, thank you. I'm so grateful to have such a wonderful host in here.
Yeah. Stop. Keep going. No. Okay, brilliant. Just before we go, do you have any advice for future prospective concrete technologists or people who are looking to do a KTP in the future?
Well, just like I mentioned earlier, KTP is actually like a project where you actually have a work plan and stuff, but still it's more about the passion you have in your mind. Like if you want to make it happen, you can actually make it happen. And it's also like things are going to get hard. And sometimes it's going to confuse you a lot, but still, I think you would actually find your way back to it if you love what you're doing. And for the people who are actually interested in the world of concrete technology, just go for it. Just go for it, because I was actually from a different field. See where I am now. I'm actually in a concrete sector, working as a concrete technologist, which I probably won't imagine myself being in this position when I think 5 years back.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting. It's like so many things are involved with it. So just go for it. It's really interesting. You'll just enjoy the process.
That's really good to hear. I always try and like fit a wee pun into these. So you said the really insightful, really inspirational like sign off. Mine is just don't crack up. Because concrete cracks, does it? Or a concrete crack?
Yeah.
So it's like, it's trying to keep it relevant. Keep it But yeah. Brilliant. Well, Ansi, again, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to Carbon Climates. If you follow us on Instagram at carbon_climates, you can keep up to date with our latest news and posts. Okay, thanks for listening. Bye.